Let me do this real quick. Here we go. There we go. And we are live. Welcome back. We're hitting the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. And I wanted to say happy birthday to my pops. It's March 7th, 2024. We do this every day live. So hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button so you know. And the thing that we're going to be talking about today, which my pops would be so happy, is called siloed communication. I didn't even know that siloed, I had to look it up in the dictionary and make sure that I was spelling it right, that I was saying it right. But I've been hearing this term over and over and over again. I sat with my friend Brian the other day, and he talked about it. I talked with my buddy, my best friend in the entire world, Will Simmons, yesterday, and we talked about siloed communication. And it was incredible because when I asked him about it, it was a very simple term, but it was something that caused him a lot of stress. It caused a lot of challenges. And what I found in so many organizations, once I understood what this actually meant, I was like, oh, I've dealt with that a bunch of times. So we're going to be talking about this siloed communication, but let's take the word siloed out and then just put in communication. So there's going to be a sender, a receiver, and results. And what my pops taught me was that it was never the receiver's fault, the sender, the receiver, the results. If the only way that you know you're communicating is if you send it and then you get results. But a lot of times we blame the receiver. I told them what to do, but they didn't do it. Well, maybe you told them in the wrong language. Maybe you were speaking Spanish where they spoke Chinese. Maybe you were speaking Korean where they spoke Spanish. And I used to argue with my pops all the time on this. No way, Pops, because I told him the exact right thing. And then he asked me some questions, which I'm going to ask you guys about here in a bit. But we're going to go over reading, writing, and speaking, and understanding that no matter what communication you have, whether it be from department to department, from kid to parent, this siloed communication, honestly, like this can create division and create so much stress, so much inefficiency. It can waste money. And so I'm so excited for that. We're going to go through the corresponding proverb, corresponding day. And it's amazing because it was almost as if God was laughing this morning and saying, like, this stuff is simple. This stuff is easy. You want to give me something this hard? Because 3,000-year-old wisdom is going to be coming right at you, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day. And we are going to be talking about siloed communication. Let's get this party started. Siloed communication. So I want to describe something for you real quick is the vibe. I talk about this all the time. If you haven't got the book, go ahead and grab that. It's on Amazon. You can check it. Click the link in the bio. You can check that out. A lot of things that we're going to be talking about today is I went over in the book, but I got that book from, I believe, the best business book in the world, which I'm showing you right here. If you're on Spotify or Apple, I just raised up my the word and I raised up my book. So make sure you subscribe and you notify yourself, leave a review, share it with your friends, call your wife, call your mama, because we want everybody up in here. but with this vibe, what I want you to understand is people thought of it as something kind of fluffy, and they were like, oh, well, a vibe, good vibes. No, I said, what it is most of the time people think that the vibe is the energy that you bring into the place. Oh, I got to be excited. And what I found was that the vibe is not the energy that you bring in, but the way in which people feel when you leave. And the vibe, honestly, is the missing ingredient that can change everything. And what we're talking about today, the vibe can change and help and shift siloed communication. Let's go into this one first because I looked it up. So on siloed, right? And so I'm going to look over here at my screen. It's an adjective, siloed, of a system or process or department isolated from others. And then it gave an example. Managers have been told to break down the walls between siloed applications. How many of us have felt this? Now, let me show you this here. So communications siloed are groups of people that form in corporations, groups or departments talk only among themselves. They do not consider the overarching goals of the business. The word comes from agricultural practice. A silo is a large receptacle that holds a number of materials, but only holds a certain type of material. So check this out. Imagine this, you have in your business, right? So in your business or in your life, right? So you can apply this if you're a mom out there or you're a dad and you but if you have a job or you've dealt with people, this siloed communication, we've all dealt with it. We've dealt with the fact of, oh man, I did my job. Did they do their job? Oh, I don't want to depend on anybody, so I'll do all the jobs. And then we do all the jobs mediocre. So let's dive right into this thing. Siloed communication is the sender, the receiver, and the results. And here it goes. In verse 1 from Proverbs 7, it says, "My son, keep my words, store up my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Say to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you far from the adulterous woman," which is anything between you and your desired result, right? "And the wayward woman with her seductive ways," or somebody else's job that you shouldn't be doing, but you should be communicating with them and allowing them to work at the highest level. See, what I found is in cultures, siloed communication happens because people don't take the time and ask a couple questions. And in Proverbs 7, what it talked about there was, it said, keep my commandments and you will live. How will I get them? By storing them up. How do you store them up? You read them and you stay in communication, right? So if we read about the people in our departments, we read about them, what their department values, and then we speak to them, we store it up. Then guard those teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them down. Because when you write them, the physical act of writing, you're starting to see it. So what happens is you start to communicate and you start to understand and really study what the other departments do and what's important to them. And in this, it was great because it went down. There was two things. One, a dimmer switch, and number two, persuasive words. That's all Proverbs 7 was, is basically telling you, like, stay on track, and here's what will happen if you're off track. But what the language was in the language that the people were speaking, because the language that the people spoke at the time was, a lot of times people would be taken little bit by little bit, or the dimmer switch effect, or they would be taken by persuasive words, and this is what it warns in that way. But why was that? Because that was the language that the people spoke. So with silo communication, it's not about us not saying the right words. It's just about us saying in the wrong language. So watch this. In the first question in this is, where are they from? And I've messed up on this so much because as a young entrepreneur, what I did is I jumped to where a person could go as opposed to where they were at the particular time. And this was one of the biggest challenges for me, because what I would do is a person would come in. I didn't care where they were at. I was taking them to this level. But what I found was it freaked them out a lot of times. So if you can take each department and you break it into the departments, and there's only a couple departments in a business, and I described this the other day. I said to one of my friends, I said, there's only three things really in business, right? So there's, you need exposure, you need top line revenue, or you need profit. So let's break it down this way. You either need exposure, people to know about your brand through customers or team members, so you can build your business. You're either you're lacking revenue. People aren't buying your product. And if you have both of those things, those two, sometimes we're dealing with the efficiencies. So it's not dropping to the bottom line or the EBITDA. And so if we can look and say, what is your business needing at this time? Or what is your family needing at this time? What is your relationships needing at this time? But let's stay in the business side of it. So in point number one is, where are they from? Where are the people from in that particular department? Number two is, where are they at this time right now? And see, what I used to do is, again, I didn't take time to find out where they were at. I would, or where they were from, I would just jump to right where they could go. But if you can understand where they're from, you can understand where they're at right now. Maybe they're dealing with a divorce, a death in the family, all those things. You can start to understand that there's really only one business and one business only, and that's the people business. That's what my pops taught me the whole time. And if we can touch the people, we could grow the people, then the people will grow the business. But if not, we'll strain to be able to grow the business and then have the people come along. That's where the challenges generally happen. Number three question is, what language do they speak? And I'm going to put this graphic up because I want you to see where this freedom is. If you're listening, the freedom circle, what I refer to it as, the CEO is at the top, or the visionary. The CFO is on one of the sides. You could turn this way, wherever you want. That CFO deals with numbers. The CMO it deals with promotion, the chief marketing officer. And then we've got the CTO. Let me move this over so you can see it. CTO or CSO. So this chief technology officer, or the chief strategy officer, and they deal with strategy. So we got the visionary, the numbers, the promotion, the strategy. But understand that a CEO does not speak numbers most of the time, unless they're wearing both hats. The CFO does. But the CFO has a different language than the CEO. The CMO has a different language than the CFO. The CTO and CSO has a different language than the CEO. And once we start to understand what those languages are, what happens is that we start to be able to gain a little bit of freedom where we're at in our lives. And so the reason why I ask what language do they speak is because a CFO is going to speak numbers. They're going to speak bottom line numbers. They're going to speak EBITDA, they're going to speak in profit margin, and that's what they're going to speak. And so if it doesn't make that sense, then it's not going to, they're not going to understand it. To a CEO, if you're not speaking visionary terms, they're not going to understand it. If you're speaking to the CMO or the chief marketing officer, if it doesn't have to do with marketing, promotion, and building the brand, they don't understand and they don't really care. If you're dealing with a CTO or a CSO, the chief strategy officer or chief technology officer, if you're not talking technology or strategy, it doesn't matter to them. But imagine this, to be able to help us with this siloed communication is just to understand this next question, which is the fourth question, is what's their KPIs? What's their key performance indicators? Not for you and not just out there, but what are they to them? What will make their job easier and make them look good? Because we all have a boss, whether it be the, you know, if you're the owner of the company, then it's the shareholder, right? If it's a public company, it's the shareholder. If it's, you know, if you're just a sole proprietor, then it's your profit margin. But what is the KPI of that person? Once we start to understand where they're from, where they're at, what language do they speak, and their KPIs, now things start to become a little bit more simple. Fifth question is, are you okay with being wrong? Are you okay with being wrong? Because when we communicate, we've got to make sure that when we make a wrong decision, which you will, that you call it out publicly, that everyone knows publicly that you made a mistake. And I tell you, this is one of the greatest tools that I ever used in my entire career. And what I found is if I wanted to truly, truly build the culture, which was a living, breathing organism, I had to be wrong at some point. People wanted to see that vulnerability. They wanted to see the fact that I was wrong and I did something idiotic. I did, when the pandemic hit, March 12th, I did a meeting with my entire staff and I said, hey guys, this is no big deal. And they were like, they were freaking out, especially in Chicago. And I was like, no big deal. I've been through this before. I've been through, September 11th. I've been through 2008. This is going to be a couple of days and then we'll be back to work. And I recorded that meeting on video, on Zoom. And I was completely wrong, like awfully wrong. But I had to stand up after and be like, yo, guys, I made one of the biggest mistakes ever by telling you guys this. But what I would say is, like, ask yourself, are you willing or are you okay with being wrong? And then the last question in this is, how long are you willing to last? So I'll tell you a quick story is I got a couple really cool people coming on the podcast in the coming weeks. A guy named Daryl Davis, he was the inspiration for Black Klansman. I reached out to him about 4 years ago and said, you know, I saw the movie and I was enamored by it. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was a phenomenal story. And it's a true story of a guy infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan as a black man and then becoming best friends with the Grand Wizard. Well, I wanted to know him, so I reached out. He was already not my friend, so I figured, you know, I'll just reach out to him. So over the course of 4 years, I kept on reaching out to him. And I found that I had to speak in a language that he understood, meaning that I had to make sure, like, that I was doing the right things on my podcast. When I reached out 4 years ago, I had, like, two episodes. That wasn't a language that he spoke. He's on Joe Rogan all over the place, and he finally hit me back after 4 years, but it was because I was speaking in the right language. See, we were, him and I were siloed. He was in his lane, I was in my lane, he didn't speak my language, I didn't speak his language, and then, bang, it happened. But how long are you willing to last in what you believe in, and how many things are you willing to go through to be able to communicate with the siloed department? So if you have marketing or you have sales, guess what? Marketing is not going to speak sales. Product development is not going to give two poops about the efficiency of how they're building the product. They're only going to care about the greatest product possible. Sales is not going to care about how detailed the product is. They're going to say, like, when can I bring it to market? When can I sell it? Because that's the language that I speak. The CEO is not going to speak all the efficiencies in the sales and all those things. What they're going to say is the overarching vision. No, I see the company. It can be this. Well, imagine if you just understood their languages. You understood their KPIs or key performance indicators, and then you delivered on those things. Remember back. Let's go back. What's the one business in the world and the one business only? It's the people business. And if we could build the people will build the business. So when we start to go back to this, we start to simplify it. And then I oversimplify things. So I think in your business, one, you need exposure. Two, you need top line revenue. Three, you need bottom line profit. That's in every business that I've ever dealt with, it's all exactly the same. And all businesses have one thing in common, and that's that they all have people. And if you could get to the people, and the people are all different and they speak different languages, especially when they're in different departments. I learned this because I was on a military base and I had to grow up learning to speak a lot of different languages because people were from different areas. And I can't think that my one language will translate to everybody else. So take the time today and ask the question. Number one is, do you know where your people are from? Number two, do you know where they're at? Number three, do you know the language they speak? Number four, do you understand and know what their KPIs are? Number five is, are you okay with being wrong? And number six is, how long are you willing to last? It's amazing because in Proverbs 7, it gives the illustration of this. It tells us, like, make sure that you speak the people's language. And then here's the thing that will happen over time if you don't. The corresponding proverb for the corresponding day never, never, never disappoints. 3,000-year-old wisdom that's applicable in your culture, your business, your systems, your leadership. Guys, got a little book. 117 pages, The Vibe. You could get it on Amazon. It's based off of this big book over here. We want to speak in people's languages. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.